flashlight. I can't see it from
here. Oh, what a wonderful day. May I will never wrong you. After I've wandered, darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I've been. Oh, what a tender, passionate friend. He meant to heal all my heart.
Started here. Good to see everyone tonight. Missing a few. Do keep them all in prayer. I know some are online with us. Let's take our blue folders. Turn over to the, should be towards the very last page. I know my name is there. And we'll stand. Brother, you got a copy? You got
it? Okay.
Amen. Amen. We'll stand when we get there. Y'all got a copy of it? Blue folder, I know my name is there. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know my name is there. I know, my name is written there. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record. But by His blood my Savior crossed and placed it on His roll. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there on the third. Yet inward trouble often cast a shadow o'er my title. But now in full salvation blessed, praise God, it's ever clear. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. Amen. Brother Jackie, if you would, open us in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, keeping your blue folder here, let's look over here. How about page number 15? Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Amen. They might not be happy here, but they're going to be happy there if they're going there. Amen. Might be a reason that they're not happy here. They're not going there. Amen. Just a thought. Amen. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises every day and ages. But He will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises through the never-ending ages. Everybody will be happy. On the third, we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be before to care. All the people be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, every happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises through the never-ending ages. Everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the One who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises through the never-ending age. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Amen. How about page 11, Unclouded Day? Amen. I know you're going, preacher, it's raining today. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that unclouded day. Amen. I like this song. This is one of them. I like to whistle it. I can sing this anytime. And I'm going to go ahead and let you know that there's about five different versions of this chorus. And whichever one comes out is whichever one's coming out, all right? So
I used to really miss the song.
Oh, I'm telling you, brother, I've heard it, and some of you are going, all right, well, that's only one line of the chorus. But if you go up there where the second stanza, you'll see an S. That means that that's where you're going back to. It says DS right there. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. And that's going to be the end of the chorus. But there's sometimes it just comes out different because I've heard it different and learned it different. And, well, I don't know if this is that version or not. So we're just going to sing it and praise the Lord for the unclouded day. Amen. Here we go. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the end of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. On the second, oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day on the third. Oh, they tell me of the King in His beauty there. And they tell me that His eyes shall behold where He sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that He smiles on His children there, and His smiles drive their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that land of... Oops, sorry. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Amen. Aren't you thankful for an unclouded day? Day to day, we didn't have much sun, but I'm thankful there's an unclouded day coming. We're not going to need the sun nor the moon. We're going to have the sun. The Lamb's going to be the light. Amen. Look forward to that day. And I hope you've been praying this afternoon. You say, preacher, what should we have been praying about? Pray that I don't preach 50 minutes on another point. Amen. And I'm not saying it wasn't needed. I'm not saying that that wasn't okay, but that wasn't necessarily my thought. So that means I've got 3 points to get through tonight. And we can't do 50 minutes per point. Amen. You do the math. That's a lot of time. Amen. And so, Lord help us. We'll get through this tonight. And it is good to see y'all. I know we're kind of low in numbers tonight. Just kind of that rainy day, is it not? And that time of, well, just kind of dragging along. And listen, I haven't forgot how good it is to have people on Sunday night. It wasn't that long ago that I was preaching just in front of the camera and my family, and they got tired of me just preaching to them. Amen. And in fact, just Sarah said that it's enough. We've got a pew at the house that I preach to them. Amen. I don't need one here. And nonetheless, I'm thankful to at least see some folks and see some responses as the Lord leads things on my heart. And it's good to see people respond to the Word of God. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn back over to the book of Psalms, chapter number 56. This is where we were going to be last Sunday night, and I'd finished up the Sunday morning's message last Sunday night. And so Psalm 56, we'll look at the first, or all 13 verses here, and we'll get started again. I'm not going to give you a long introduction, just kind of re-hit. I know that some of you probably slept this afternoon. Some of you probably came to that place where, just forgot a little bit this morning. I'm not going to re-beat the point, but I do. Well, we'll bring up some high points. Psalm 56, when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 56, verse number 1. Anyone go home and think about verse number 13 a little bit? I just like the fact that my feet don't have to fall. Amen. As much as He delivered my soul from death, that my feet are delivered as well. Everything about me, God has made it to where I don't have to fall. I don't have to have defeat in my life. But instead, I can have 100% victory all day long, all year long. Psalm 56, verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Verse 7, they
Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come back today, Lord, we need to see Your direction, Lord. Understand Your strength and Your might, Lord. Understand that Your desire is for us to have victory, Lord, every day of our life. That we don't have to be defeated just because there's a storm above us. Lord, that there's trouble around us. Instead, Lord, we can have victory in You. And Lord, would You help us today that we would truly set our mind and set our heart to just living in You and for You. And Father, let it just ring in our ears that You're for us. Because it's not that You're on our side, but instead we're on Your side. And Lord, I pray that You would help us today, that we would get confidence through this and have a greater faith and trust in You. And Lord, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Amen. We just to bring us back up to memory, and it's good to have Brother and Sister Duke, and Michaela, it's good to have you too. Amen. And Brother James and Sister Edra was so lonely over here this morning. And, you know, I had looked at it because scripturally, Matthew 25, the Bible tells us that the goats are on His left side and the sheep are on His right. And boy, I had a whole church full of sheep. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying the goats were on His left and the sheep were on His right. Amen. When He divided them out, that's all I'm saying. But, you know, they need some company. Because when I'd preached to them, I had to come like this. And, you know, it just, now I can actually come over here. We've got more people and I can kind of spread it out. Now, it looks like some of our sheep got lost. But you know, the sheep side's not near as full as it was this morning. But praise the Lord. You know, it's good that we can come to the house of God in 2021. You say, preacher, are we not expected to? Well, there's a lot of times in 2020 that we wasn't. Amen. And you know, I'm thankful. I'm glad that we can come back and come to the house of God and just enjoy what He's doing. This morning we had seen that this psalm was pinned down when David was actually in Gath. When he had fled from Saul, it was almost the end of Saul's kingdom, almost the end of Saul's life. And David is there, he's fled, and he's fled to the wrong place. As I had said there in verse number 13, as much as David had really, this is a question. And you find that colon that's placed there. He said that you've delivered, and this is a statement that he's making. He said, you've delivered my soul from death. And then same thought. Same connection there. That colon that's placed there in that sentence is really to that place where it's all connected. It's too important to divide it out. He could have put a period there and started another sentence, but instead he joined them together without a conjunction because there's a colon there. And that importance that he has, and I had pointed this morning that he's asking the question, but he's really already knows the answer. Because God's already delivered his soul from death, and we're here today as a child of God. We're delivered from death. And you say, well, preacher, none of us know if we're going to feel death in this flesh. We're all going to feel death in this flesh. This old corruptible body is going to have to put on incorruption. Amen. This mortal is going to have to die and put on immortality. But I'm thankful that we aren't going to see that second death. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I don't have to worry about that because, well, we just sang about it. I know my name is there. I love that song. Because there's a lot of people that can't say they know their name's there. They hope it's there. Well, it might be there. No, I know it's there. Amen. And so, because I know it's there, he goes on and he says, "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" He already knows that answer. God's able. I showed you this morning there in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not done, and you're the most valuable item, person to him. I know you're going to say, "I'm not an item." You are. You're part of him. And you're valuable to him. He loves you so much that he died for you. And the last thing that God wants for your life, you're going to say, "Well, sorrow and trouble." No. Defeat. Because defeat brings discouragement. And discouragement is not what God wants us to have. We're to be encouraged in him. We're to have victory in him. That's not just over death. That's every day. And in this idea of him delivering my feet, we identified this morning of the enemies, the multitude of enemies that we see. And they're real. We've seen Saul as an enemy. And Saul was that jealous king. Saul was that one that he didn't know was his enemy until the javelin was thrown. And there's many times in our lives that you don't know that they're the enemy until the javelin's thrown. And we know the Philistines, and I told you this morning, this world is not our friend. Brother James, I think you were singing earlier, "This world is not my home." But this world's not my friend either. I guess that's why it's not my home. And society is not becoming more godly. The problem is the churches are becoming more worldly. And so God's desire here is to show us the enemies. But then, as much as we looked at David and we've seen Saul and the Philistines are really the enemy, David himself was his own enemy at times. And so are we. We've seen that David had went to the Philistines. He didn't have to go there. He could have easily encouraged himself in the Lord where he was. Even if he was hiding in the caves, and even if he was fleeing from Saul, God was the one that had given him protection. It was David's fear that drove him to defeat and to this place. And so, how often are we our own worst enemies? And I look today, or this evening, and we're going to look on, and the next point that I wanted to bring up is the awareness of our Savior. Looking back in verse number 8, we find in verse number 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" And you say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, let me remind you something. Before David ever went to fight Goliath, David was already anointed to be king of Israel. David forgot that. But may I tell you who did not forget that? God. The one that anointed him. The one that said, "You're going to be the king." May I remind you who's walking before you is the one that knows exactly where you are. The one that saved you, that you're to be in him and him in you, he hasn't forgot what he's bringing you through. It may be a storm. Brother Jackie's been giving me credit for the rain cloud that we've got over us today. And that, you know, I was preaching about it this morning. But we're going to have some storms. We're going to have some troubles. The ones that think that you're going to go through life and never have any difficulties, never have any problems, that everything is going to go your way. Well, that's really the problem that we have today, isn't it? If it's not going my way, I'm going to pout and I'm going to throw a fit. And that's really where we are. That's part of the problem. Hold on, I can stop there and preach that. But it's not really the truth, is it? We're all going to have difficulties. We're all going to have problems. But it doesn't mean that we have to be defeated through them. And the Lord is going to bring us through those. And so I want us to see here his awareness, God's awareness, our Savior's awareness. He says in verse number 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings." Notice this, that he knows where we are. Now I just want to give you the definition of wandering, and some of you you're going to say, well, how simple. But it is, but we forget about it. Wandering simply means a traveling without a settled course. You're just aimless fugitive. You're just going around. David wasn't settled where he was. David didn't know that that was the right answer. What's he doing? He's just like the rest of this world out there trying to find the answer, and they're looking, maybe it's over here. It's not there. Let me run over here. Oh, maybe it's here. And they're looking for the, may I tell you that the child of God doesn't need to be that? The child of God doesn't have to wander around. We can have a settled course. We can continue to follow Him. And He tells us here in verse number 8, thou knowest my wanderings. Huh. May I tell you that God knows everywhere that we're looking? Or thou tellest my wanderings? It's because He knows them. It's because He is around, or He knows everywhere that we are. He knows the wanderings that we've went through. Go over to Psalm 37. We love Psalm 37 and verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But I want you to look on down in verse number 7. Because here's the problem. So often we begin to wander in our heart and our mind before we ever wander in our steps. I'm talking about having a spiritual, victorious life the entire year of 2021. And really it goes beyond that. May I tell you, if God's delivered my feet from falling, if he's made it to where I don't fall in 2021, you know what He's capable of doing in 2022? You know what He's capable of doing in 2000? You understand what I'm saying? And we've got this idea that we can be on the mountaintop a little bit, and then we've got to come down. And I don't know where we get that. You can't always live on the mountaintop. I can spiritually with the Lord. I'm not saying that there's not storms. May I tell you, there's storms on top of the mountain. But you can still stay there. You can still stay victorious. And so I look here, and He knows my wandering. Psalm 37, look at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know what the child of God begins to wander from when they begin to wander in their heart and their mind from the victory that God's given us? We begin to wander from peace. That's really where it begins. Remember, I was talking about the children of Israel in Kadesh Barnea, and the reason that they wouldn't go in to the promised land when they had the first opportunity was they were afraid. It was fear. Most children of God do not live in a victorious life because of fear. Maybe it's the fear that they're going to lose a friend that's not really a friend anyway. Amen. Maybe it's the fact that they're going to have to change some things in their life. They're not going to be as comfortable as they once were. It's a stupid fear, but it's a fear nonetheless. And I look here and I find as David began to wander, before he ever went to Gath, he had already begun to search for a place of peace. Why did he end up in the caves? You say, preacher, he had to have somewhere to hide. When did he ask the Lord where to hide? You ever notice that? We're looking for God's direction and we want victory, but then when trouble comes, we look for our own answers. David's done that more than once. I'm reminded of when he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And boy, he had it all set. He had consulted God, should we go against the Philistines? And God said, go up against them. I'll give you victory. And he did. But when it was time to do something spiritual for the Lord, he knew what to do. He didn't consult God at all until there was a man that died. You know, we begin to lose our peace when we start to fret in our heart and our minds. we begin to lose that peace that God gives us. May I tell you that one of the greatest joys that we have as a child of God is the peace of God. Not just peace in God, that the wrath of God's not on us anymore, but instead we have the peace of God, that I know that I'm under His refuge, that He's the safety, He's the place that I need, He's the way that I have victory. And so I find here that He knows where I am. And when I begin to wander in my heart, may I tell you, I'm wandering for peace, or from peace. But then I find, as I wander in my heart, I begin to wander in my direction. Look back over at Psalm 37. Look at verse number 23. And the Bible tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, notice this, what did it tell us in Psalm 56:13? That thou hast delivered my feet from falling. He says, though I fall, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You say, preacher, I thought you said that God's able. God is able, but how many times does our feet not follow the direction that God has? The Lord orders our steps. But may I tell you, when you don't take the step that the Lord ordered for you to take, you've taken your own step. And now you're not guaranteed to not fall. But here's the great part. Here's the part where we can really shout that even when I fall, even when I fail, God still got me by the hand. Amen. He still got my hand. He still got a hold of me. And so I look here and I find that He knows where we are. But I look as well, He knows what's happening. In Psalm, back over here in Psalm 56 and verse number 8, He says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? I find here that He knows what's happening to us at the time. You say, preacher, how does He know that? Well, because He is God. He's God. There's nothing that God doesn't know. I'm thankful for the most part. I know what my 5-year-old's doing. And for the most part, I know what my 21-year-old's doing. And for the most part, I know what my 25-year-old's doing. But I don't know what they do all the time. Because unless they're in my presence, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I know what they're supposed to be doing, but I don't know what they're doing. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And as God sees what's happening, listen, David's truly in agony. David's hurting. He said, put my tears. Those are not tears of joy. Those are tears of agony. Those are tears that he's crying out and he needs that help. And may I tell you that God hasn't ignored him and God hasn't just left him there so that he could be on his own. No, God's taking notice. He's collecting it up. He's got it recorded. I'm reminded of Abraham in Genesis chapter number 15. Abraham, God had came to him, and at this time he's still Abram, and he had already given him the promise. Now, Abram is without children. How in the world am I going to have the promised seed? I have no children. And God tells him in a dream, in a vision, he says, in these things, in Genesis 15:1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews 4, turn quickly here with me. In Hebrews chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 15. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 15, I want you to know how God knows what we're going through. I want you to know how, listen, we have a Savior that has felt your stripes. He's felt your nails. He's felt your crown. He's felt your sin. He's felt your pain. He knows everything about you more than you do. And then we look at this old world and how this old world treated him. And so in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm not just talking about our sins. Our infirmities are, of course, everything sin-wise.
But he's also talking about the troubles in this in that time of temptation. You know what David's tempted of right now? Why he's in Gath? He was tempted to trust his own way. Now, of course, in the book of Psalm 56, we find, or that chapter, we find that he's talking over and over and over that he's trusted God. You know, there's sometimes that we say that we trust God to convince ourselves. Brother Jackie, I remember especially when John and Jacob were growing up, and I'm starting to do that with Jeremiah, but I would ask him a question, and they would answer me. Or they would give me the answer, and I could tell they wasn't very confident in it. And I would give them the typical military answer. Are you asking me or telling me? And there's some times, if you read Psalm 56, you'll find it where he says, I put my trust in God. I put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in His Word. I'm going to do all of these things. And boy, God's the one I trust in. May I tell you, there were some times that David was trying to convince himself or get confidence himself. Oh, he knew where his faith needed to be. This is the man that brought down a giant with a rock. He knew what God could do. But sometimes we need to be reminded what God can do. And so the Bible tells us here in Hebrews 4 and verse number 15 that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched. He knows our infirmities. He knows this life that we live in. And look at this. Look at verse number 15. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You say, preacher, the only time I need Him is for sin. You're a liar. Because we need Him all the time. Every storm of life, every trial that comes up, every day, even when the sun's shining, we need Him. And so we find that we have this blessed promise that He knows what's happening. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why do we need Him so bad? Because we need some rest from this old world. And we can still have victory in it. I find in verse number 8 as well that He knows when we cry out. It doesn't go unnoticed. The tears that are in the bottle, the book that's being recorded. You say, preacher, what's this book about? I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it all, but I know it's before Him. In the book of Malachi, chapter number 3 and verse number 16, this is what it explains about this book of remembrance, because may I tell you, our Savior doesn't forget. But in the days of the kings, when something would happen, well, they're called chronicles. They would record everything that would take place. And then, even in the book of Esther, we find that King Ahasuerus. Close. But the... Jacob, you remember it? It's not Ias. Anyway, the... You look, and he couldn't fall asleep. You want to know why Bible reading's hard? Read the book of Chronicles. 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Amen. He couldn't fall asleep. So you know what they did? They read the book of Chronicles. Or they read Chronicles to him. They read what happened in his kingdom. And they reminded him about what had been done by Mordecai, Esther's uncle. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, the king would be reminded, not that God ever forgets anything that we ever do. The Bible tells us we know that our labor is not in vain. We know that everything that we do, God remembers. But there's this book that's written down. And it's, if you would allow me to say that, it's probably more for our memory than for His, because He doesn't need help with His, but we need help with ours. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, for they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. That's the only time that the book's mentioned as far as an actual book of remembrance. But he tells us here in Psalm 56 that this book of remembrance, that what we do is recorded down. And we do know that the books are opened in heaven. But I'm just reminded of the fact that He knows when we cry out. Well, why is it? Because that's what He's at the right hand of the Father for. You ever remember that? You ever thought about that? Why is He sitting at the right hand of the Father? so that when He looks down and we cry up, He says, hey, we need to direct some attention over here. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, Hebrews 7 and verse number 25, the Bible says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to Him, come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You remember in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, that Jesus was walking on the water after He had fed the multitude of 5,000. And when He was walking on that water, He had came to that ship, or he had was walking past, and would have walked past them, but the disciples were scared. And they cried out, and He said, have peace, it's me, it's okay. And Peter said, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. And He said, come. And Peter, when he had came out there, and remember, he had begun to look around, and the wind was boisterous, and he took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. And do you remember what he did? He cried out. He cried out. In verses 30 and 31, I believe, is where it's located. And in chapter 14, the Bible tells us there that when Peter cried out unto the Lord, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand. That's important. So many times we don't even cry out until we get a couple gulps of water. And then we finally cry out. Oh, hey, the water's over our head. Now I'll cry out. I don't know how far down the water Peter's hand was, but I know that God's hand's able to reach all the way down and pull him right back up. Immediately, he stretched forth his hand. Aren't you glad that we have a God that when we cry out, you say, but preacher, David's still there. Oh, but God's with him. Amen. David's in Gath, but God's there too. Immediately he stretched forth his hand. And so I look here and I find the stability of the saved. In Psalm 56, we find the stability of the saved. If I could backtrack just for a moment, look at verse number 9. I was talking about immediately. Notice verse number 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. You want to know why we so often fail to have victory and we fight the enemies day and night? Not that they're not going to be there, not that we're not going to have battles every day, but we'll have victory when we cry out. We'll have victory when, then. And that's how God works. Notice, if you would, the stability of the saved. I find in verse number 3, it's dependent upon our trust or our timing. It's dependent upon our timing, and that goes right back to what I said in verse number 9. But notice this, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. How many times do we wait until we're really afraid? How many times do we wait until we're really too far down? How many times do we wait until we've dug our hole and we've jumped in and we're trying to dig our way out? And by the way, you'll never dig your way out of the hole, you only dig it yourself deeper. Amen. And as I look there, he says, what time? I'm going to just trust. I'm not going to wait. You know what I've found in my short time as pastor? We like to wait. We like to wait on everything but the Lord. Amen. We know the answer. We don't need to wait for Him to give it to us. And then we get ourselves in really hot water, and we're really in a battle, and we're really surrounded, and we're really in trouble. And then we want to wait to call unto Him. Well, you know, No, hold on a second. Spiritually, we can't whoop our way out of a wet paper bag. Amen. We've all heard that story. We've all heard the account that they can't beat their way out of a wet paper bag. Spiritually, we can't either. The only thing that we can do is call upon Him. And our timing matters. What do you want to do? Wait until they've got you so far down and they're drowning you before you can never come back up and gasp for help? No! The moment that I see the need, the moment that I see the trouble, notice this. He says in verse number 1, he's talking about he fighting daily oppresseth me. In verse number 2, he says, daily they swallow me up. In verse number 2 as well, he's talking about the many that fight against. And he says, what time I'm afraid. Hold on a second. It doesn't take very many to surround me spiritually before I know that I need to call out. And timing matters. I watch people as they begin to grow spiritually. They think they need less of the Lord, and they can walk more on their own. and how dangerous that is. It's just like a child as they learn to walk. I remember we were just looking at some videos where Jeremiah was learning to walk, and it was, Sister Sarah was, I'd say across the room, but our living room's not really that big. It's not like, oh, here she was across the room back there, and boy, he just walked that whole, no, it was a few steps. And she's calling for him and calling for him and calling for him, and he's doing one of those, and then he had turned back to me, you know, because he didn't want to get very far, and he had just turned back, and then finally he took those steps, and now he doesn't even look. He just goes. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm afraid we've got a lot of spiritual weeble wobbles. Well, weeble wobbles, but they don't fall down. Amen. And we've got this idea that we can do it on our own. And timing does matter. We need to call out to Him for help daily. Why? Because the battle's daily. We need to realize that He's here to hold our feet daily. Because the battle's daily. And so I look here and I find that it's dependent upon our timing, but it's also dependent upon our trust. Dependent upon our trust. We find in verse number 3, He says, I will trust in thee. In verse number 4, He says, I will praise His word. In God have I put my trust. In verse number 11 of this same passage, He says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. Remember in verse number 3, He said, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I'll trust in God. By verse number 11, He says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. If you would, turn over to the book of Psalm 16, Psalm chapter number 16. I want to give you several places in here. Of course, the book of Psalms is full of trusting in the Lord. In Psalm chapter number 16, I want you to look at verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Have we really came to that place where He's the only one we trust in? I'm not talking about that you can't trust your brethren. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is He's the one that we can trust for everything. He's the one that we can trust for victory. We sure can't trust ourselves, and we sure can't trust the others that are our enemies. And so we look here in Psalm chapter 18, look at verse number 2, Psalm 18 and verse 2. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And so I go on into chapter number 20. I'm sorry, look on verse 30 of this same chapter. I didn't see that. Look at verse number 30. As for God, in Psalm 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. And go on over into Psalm 20. Look at verse number 7. Psalm 20 and verse number 7. In Psalm chapter number 20 and verse number 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Huh. You see, Proverbs chapter number, I believe it's 21 and verse number 31, something like that. The Bible tells us that as a horse is prepared for battle, safety is of the Lord. You see, some people are trusting in the resources that they have instead of the one that's really going to be the deliverer. Aren't you glad that when we got saved, we got delivered from sin? But may I tell you, He delivered us from far more than that. I mean, really, I don't want to make it sound like sin's not a major deliverance, but may I tell you that there's so much more that we have in Him. It's as if we've said, well, He saved me from sin, and then we don't have that personal. We have a disconnect. But no, I can trust in Him for everything because I have a personal Savior. Notice as well, it's dependent. We're talking about the stability of the saved. I told you before that when you desire to take your own steps, it doesn't mean that you're not going to fall. But He does hold your hand. And our stability is dependent upon our timing. It's dependent upon where I trust. But it's also dependent upon the tools I use. Now, I know every one of us, men, we've used a tool that wasn't designed the way that we've used it. Amen? May I tell you, a screwdriver is not a pry bar. Sister Sarah, a butter knife is not a screwdriver. Amen? You give Sister Sarah a butter knife, and she can take apart the whole house. Amen? And, I mean, it's everything that you need. But, you know, we've all done it, have we not? I mean, I used a crescent wrench as a pry bar the other day. You say, preacher, how do you do that? Well, I was tightening up the clevis pin on my tractor, and I needed some extra leverage because the little bar on it's that long. And so I put that handle of that 12-inch crescent wrench on it, and I began to work at it. Amen. And you say, preacher, what's wrong with that? Nothing, as long as it doesn't break. Otherwise, I used it as the tool wasn't designed. Amen. And you say, well, you know, it's got a lifetime guarantee. Take it back. You know, some of those know how you used it, and they're like, hey, yeah, I'm not warranting this. But aren't you glad that God gives us some tools to use? Now, I'm guilty for, well, I like tools. Amen. I like tools. And I take care of my tools. I've had some of those tools for a long time. And yes, I might use them, and well, I do use them. Amen. I use a tool's made to be used, and so I use them, but I like them. But I wonder if we like the tools God gives us. Say, what are they? Well, I look in the Bible, and in Psalm 56, he tells us here that he praises the Word of God. Why would he praise the Word of God? Because it's a tool in his tool belt to use for the direction that God has for him. It's used as the encouragement that he can have. He goes on in verse number 4 of Psalm 56. He tells us here that he's going to praise. He said, I will praise his word. And then in Psalm 56 in verse number 4, he tells us here that in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. And so we find this is that tool belt. Well, what's so important about that? It is the producer of faith. You know, I really liked, and I've been chewing on it for a while. Of course, we're talking about David today, and everyone can relate to David. And we know some stories about David, some accounts of David's life, some good and some bad. But I've been reading in the book of Joshua quite a bit because that's really where God's got me. And even after I get done with it, I keep going back and I just keep reading in the book of Joshua as I'm studying and studying out Joshua. And I like the book of Joshua. It's one of my, I hate to say favorites because it seems like every book that I'm on and I'm studying, it becomes my favorite. Amen. But I really like the book of Joshua and I like the account. Isn't it amazing that they knocked down a wall? I'm talking about a fortified city that no one could penetrate. They knocked it down by marching around it. And at the end, as the priests were blowing the trumpet, the people shouted and the walls came down. That's just amazing to me. You say, preacher, I mean, really? Yeah, really. But then I go on and in the book of Joshua, you find that they had some defeats too. Well, why? Because they didn't consult the Lord. And so I find as much as the Bible is there to remind us about what God can do, and it's the Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse number 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. May I tell you, that's not the only tool God gave us. You say, preacher, what's that? How many times did we notice in Psalm 56 that he said, I'll cry out. I'll cry unto thee. May I tell you that prayer is important in the child of God's life? Jeremiah was going into the house last night, and I had my boots on, and they were definitely muddy, so I wasn't going to take them in the house. I was with Sister Sarah and Jacob, or Jeremiah. Did I say Jacob? I'm sorry. My other younger son. Jeremiah was going in, and Sister Sarah had already went in, and I held the door, the storm door for Jeremiah, and I had let go thinking he was in. And he had stopped to take his mud boots off on the front porch. And I didn't see it. I'm trying to get things and do things and around. And it just gets his elbow. And you know what he did? He let out a scream. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I went back to see. You know what happens when we let out that spiritual scream? God goes back to see what see what we need. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but so often we try to do what an older kid would do. I'm all right. Really didn't hurt that bad. Yeah, I said older. But do we not? Oh, it's really not that bad. I don't need to cry out right now. I'll wait till later. People aren't around me. Let me suck that tear back in. It'll be okay. I'll just regain my composure. No, David said, I cried out. I showed you there in verse number 9, he says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. But may I tell you the very first tool that we need to use that is the most powerful tool, and it really makes the others to where they take place and where they become effective. You say, preacher, what's that? It's the tool of faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Verse number 3, the Bible says, when I'm afraid, I will trust. When I'm afraid, I will. What's he have? Faith. It takes faith. You want to see God respond? Start responding in faith. Lord, I've been here before. I've had some troubles. I've had some trials. I've had some heartaches. I've had some defeat. I'm charged up. I'm ready to serve God. And then the moment that I get out of this church house, I'm falling down. Lord, I'm tired of falling. But I know you can keep me up. And that's where it comes. If you're going to use any tool out of that arsenal of tools that he's given us, the one that you need to use first is the tool of faith. And just say, Lord, I know you can't. Oh, believe me, we need to go just as the disciples did and say, Lord, teach me to pray. We need to go just as the psalmist here. I love thy word. I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need all of these. But it all starts with faith. It all starts with faith. And so I find in this, I find the shout of the saved. Notice the shout of the saved. You say, preacher, what's that shout? Look at Psalm 56. Look at verse number 4. He says, I will, in God, I will praise His word. In God, if I put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Go on to verse number 10. In verse number 10, he says, in God will I praise His word, in the Lord will I praise His word. In verse number 12 as well, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Now, I want you to understand this. In this shout of the saved, first of all, we find the shout of worship. The shout of worship. It's praise. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse number 15, he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. May I tell you that praise shows thankfulness. Thankfulness. Oh, he's thankful for the Word of God. But he's thankful for the God that is the Word of God. Amen. He's thankful for what God's done. Why? He's praising Him for it. He's letting God know how thankful He is for what God's doing. You know, it was heard. Very important. Most of the issues that we're seeing today in our country is because we've been silent too long. I'm not talking about a fake God. I'm talking about a real God. I'm talking about coming to that place where we go, hold on a second. That's my God. I have a problem with what you're doing because that goes against my God. Listen, I can't step on someone's toes because they have a God that tells them that they need to go butcher goats and sling the blood all over the neighborhood. Because, well, that might offend someone. Well, praise God, the Christians, the children of God, need to come to the place where our worship is important to us. And others hear us worshiping a living, a real God that receives it. That it's not because of some work that I've done. It's just the fact that I'm praising Him for how good He is. Amen. I didn't have to kill a goat. They aren't bad to eat. Amen. But we could have, we are Baptists, we could eat afterwards. Amen. But I look here and I find this shout of worship. And the psalmist here is shouting out. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand what he has to shout about. Because it's the shout of winning. The loser can't shout. The winner can. The loser can cry. The loser can whine. But the winner gets to shout. Amen. It's okay. I'm old enough that I still believe that second place is first loser. I believe that the one that comes in first is the winner. I believe that as a child of God, we are already the winners. It's already done. You know, I don't care what's going on in society. I don't care what happens in this world. The truth of the matter is we've already won. And we can shout. We have a shout about us because we're on the winning side. In verse number 9, if you would, in Psalm 56, look at verse number 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. I know this, for God is for me. Verse number 11 at the end, he says, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I've seen as well over here in verse number 4 at the very end, he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter what they say is right and wrong. I know what's right and wrong. I have the book. And the book tells me that we won. The book tells me that I've won. That it's already done. It's sealed. It's signed. It's written in eternity. They can't change it no matter what laws they desire to pass. And so I find that I'm on the winning side. Look at verse number 11. In verse number 11... and verse number 12 go together. And I want you to see this because as God gave me this, I definitely had a shout about it. Look at verse number 11. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. And you say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, I can trust in God because He's already promised me that I can. Did you notice verse number 12? He says, thy vows are upon me. Now, I'm going to just be really, really honest with you. I've watched many of people come, and they will get out and live their life in such a way that is not what God wants them to do. And this could have been even years before I ever knew them. And they come back, and they come to that place, and all of a sudden they have a moment of emotion, and they come forward, and they'll pray, and they'll get up, and they'll tell me, I just want to rededicate, I want to vow my life back to the Lord. And you know what I always do? I turn them around, and I tell them, don't tell me. You say, why is that? Well, because now you're witnesses. Because how many times, now, may I be honest, the majority of the people that do that, I don't see them 2 weeks after they do it. I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm just being honest. Most of the time when someone comes and they're like, hey, I want to give my life back to the Lord, what they really mean is, I want God to bless me right now, and once He does, then I can go back to my life. But that's not what that verse says, is it? It's not about David giving his promise to God. No, it was God gave David his promise. That means something, does it not? The only one that's ever kept his word promises something. Brother Scooter, we can do the best that we can and really try to never not keep our word. But truth of the matter is we fail. Every one of us fail. We could try our absolute best to make sure that we always keep our word. And our word can be great among men. But may I tell you, our word's nothing to God. But when God, who is not capable of a lie, says that I've given my vow. You say, well, preacher, I just don't understand the importance of a vow. Let me explain to you what a vow is. A vow is a solemn promise made, now normally it's made to God, to perform or to abstain from performing a certain thing. But may I tell you that that definition doesn't work? Because that's as if it was man toward God. But in Psalm 56 and verse number 12, it's God's vow coming to David. And so God promises to perform what He said He's going to perform. He said, look, you can put your trust in me because I've promised you, I've sealed it with my word. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? He told him, you don't have to fall. David was able to say, I know that you've delivered my soul from death. But David in his heart knew as well God would keep him from falling, because his steps are ordered by the Lord. How about you? Would it come to the place where you say, well, preacher, you know, I'm still going to fall short. I'm still going to fail. That's not what I'm talking about. But wouldn't it be great to realize that you can have a life of victory every day, because that's the life that God's promised us as His children? Every day. I'm not talking about once in a while. I'm not talking about you can be on the mountain and then you got to come back down. There's no parking meters. Isn't that great? Hey, we don't have to worry about the time's going to, oh, I've been up here too long. No! We get to praise the Lord. We get to be victorious. We get to win every day. I'm all right with that. I've told you before, I'm competitive. I love sports. I love to compete. I'm very competitive. But I don't like to lose. When I play to win. Even with Jeremiah, when we race, not always does he win. Isn't that right? Sometimes Dad wins. That's right. That's right. That's right. I don't always cheat. Amen. From the mouth of babes. No supper. we don't have to be a loser. We really don't. We don't have to cheat. I'm just making sure he doesn't win. But truthfully, God's already says for victory. He says the victory's yours. It's in me. You can put your trust here every day. You're still going to be victorious. You don't have to have your feet fall from where God's put you. Planted you. Not saying you're not going to have storms. I think it's raining right now. You're going to have some rain. You're going to have some storms. You're going to have some troubles. There's going to be trials. But you can go through them victorious every day. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for the promise that we have, that we find not just in Psalm 56, 1 through 13, but Lord, every day in every place in Your Word, we can look. And we find that You are the place to place our faith and our trust, Lord. And Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, first of all, that we'd have a desire to follow You. Lord, I'm thankful You delivered my soul from death, but I'm thankful as well that my feet don't have to fall. Lord, would You just touch us? Have Your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. I encourage you, if God spoke to your heart, to come. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you'd say, well, preacher, I know I'm secure. I know I'm saved, and I know that I'm secure in Him. I'm thankful for the tools that He gave us, but I'm also thankful for the timing. So many times in my own life, I wait until I know that I can't get out of it before I'll turn to Him. Aren't you glad as a child of God that we don't have to wait until fear has overtaken us? He said, when I'm afraid, and I'm afraid that we wait too long.
In times like these,
which I need to be saved. I've made a profession, or I've been trusting in something that I've done. Would you come to the place where all you can do is trust in Him?
I wandered from the shelter just ahead.
Maybe you'd say, preacher, I've got to get past myself and trust in what I know I can do. There will come a day where what you can do will fail you.
Angry winds blew hard against
you. Don't have to have a hard landing.
But he called
you could just let Him hold your feet.
Ran to him.
He's already begun a good work.
And
He's going to continue that until the day of
storm.
Jesus Christ, the day that He calls you.
God in heaven loves
you so much. Not only did He die for you.